So, 95 degrees in Berlin. Record heat in Japan, Spain, Portugal, all over 100 degrees. A lot of very hot weather all around the world these past couple of months. It's pretty clear that what we're seeing now and over the past few years is not just weather as usual. I've got the world's livable planet editor, Peter Thompson, here in the studio. Can we point to climate change, Peter, as the cause of the summer's heat waves?
Well, Marco, yes and no. Even with all the change that we're causing in our climate system, with all the carbon pollution we're pumping into the atmosphere, you can't say that any one event was actually caused by climate change. On the other hand, climate change is a big factor here. At the most basic level, there's just more heat in the system, in the atmosphere, in the oceans. As we pump more of this carbon pollution into the atmosphere, it traps the heat from the sun, and that raises the baseline for all weather events all around the world. In other words, weather events are influenced by this background of warmer temperatures. So even a normal bump in summer temperatures is likely to be at least a little bit hotter than it was a few decades ago.
But here's the thing. I also understand that it's not just a simple matter of heat that's influencing our weather, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Earth's climate system is incredibly complex with all kinds of intertwined subsystems, and they all interact. And one thing that many climate scientists have been looking at very closely is the impact of all this added heat on things like the jet stream. The jet stream basically carries our weather systems, storms, heat waves, stuff like that. And in recent years, it seems to be getting both more wavy and slowing down. The waviness basically means that over the course of the year, we're seeing a lot more big masses of cold Arctic air pushing down south. In the winters, a lot more warmer temperate and tropical air pushing up north to places like Western Europe. And then the slowdown of the jet stream means that weather systems are slowing down. They're sticking around longer. And all of that is likely due to the disrupting effect of more overall heat in the system.
Okay, so that is today, the summer, this year. How are things looking in the future?
Well, we're still adding huge amounts of carbon pollution to the atmosphere every day. That's going to mean a buildup of more and more heat, and that's going to mean more and more extreme weather. So that's the simplest way of looking at things. But like I said, the Earth's climate system is incredibly complex. There's actually a new report out this week that looks at kind of the breadth of that complexity, and it suggests that all that new heat in the system could be setting us up for a whole lot of knock-on effects that could fundamentally transform the planet and make it pretty much incompatible with civilization as we know it.
That's kind of scary. I mean, this report, I understand, it lays out a hothouse Earth scenario. What does that mean exactly?
Well, the paper was published in the Proceedings of the National Academies of Sciences here in the U.S. It essentially says that even if we manage to hold temperatures to that 2 degrees Celsius target in the Paris Climate Accord, even that supposedly safe threshold may well pull some triggers that will pick up momentum over time and eventually build a runaway warming that could take us into a much warmer planet.
And briefly, what are some of those processes?
Well, there's things like the melting of the West Antarctic ice sheet, changes in the ocean circulations like the El Niño process in the Pacific, changes to the Amazon rainforest, even thawing permafrost. There's twice as much carbon in permafrost in the Northern Hemisphere than there is already in the atmosphere. If that starts to get out, that could be a runaway scenario.
So I start to see the complexity of these patterns in these systems. Are these systems linked in any way?
They're not linked in any kind of lockstep way, but they each interact with the other ones. These scientists have laid out a scenario under which a certain level of warming will cause some runaway changes in one system, and that will make changes in another system more likely. So they all affect each of the other ones.
Yeah, you call these runaway systems. What can actually be done to prevent this hothouse Earth scenario, or is there anything?
Well, the most basic thing that can be done is to take very rapid and extreme measures to cut our carbon emissions. Not just cut them, but actually suck carbon out of the atmosphere. There are technologies that are being developed. Sucking carbon out of the atmosphere is becoming more viable, although it's still at a very small scale. Blocking sunlight actually is a fairly simple prospect, but it has all kinds of other perhaps knock-on effects. You know, everything you do affects everything else in the system. That's one thing we're learning in a big way. So nothing is clean.
Peter, are we about to face a point of no return, or are we there already?
This study does not go into whether we're there already, and I'm not sure anybody can say that. I think that the study points to things that we can do to try to limit our risk. but very quickly. We have to move extremely quickly, much more quickly than we're moving now, to try to provide some kind of buffer against the more extreme changes and tamp down the possibility of reaching that 2-degree threshold.
The World's Livable Planet editor, Peter Thompson, thanks for this.
Thanks, Marco.